Chapel Hill police are looking for a missing teen, 15-year-old Sanaya Farmer, last seen around 3 a.m. on Friday around River Birch Lane near the intersection of Irwin and Sage. There's a photo of her on our website, chapelboro.com. Police say they don't believe she's in any danger, but if you have any information, contact the Chapel Hill PD or call 911. Over to campus, where UNC had to evacuate Carrington Hall yesterday afternoon after receiving a bomb threat. Not the only university that had a bomb scare yesterday. Buildings also had to be evacuated at NC Central and Elon universities as well. Both NC Central and UNC got their threats at their respective nursing schools. All three universities eventually got the all clear. In legal news, the U.S. Justice Department announced a Chapel Hill resident has been convicted of multiple charges related to a multi-million-dollar health care fraud scheme. Jaroslava Ruiz was convicted last week of submitting more than $34 million in false claims for physical therapy services. Ruiz has a Chapel Hill mailing address, but the actions in question happened when she was living in Miami. Staying in federal government news, the U.S. Senate over the weekend passed the Inflation Reduction Act, a bill that Democrats say will lower inflation and cut the deficit, but also has significant environmental impacts, including tax incentives to help the country reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 40% from 2005 levels by the end of this decade. Ashley Ward is a climate policy expert at Duke University's Nichols Institute. She shared her thoughts about the bill last week on 97.9 The Hill.
I think this is a shift from focusing on supply side, which is mitigating, you know, the production of fossil fuels, and really on the demand side, which is reducing the demand for fossil fuels. One of the lessons learned from COVID is resilience really has to do with domestic supply chains and how we can recover when a crisis happens. And a lot of what's going on in this bill actually helps us do that and supports U.S. and North American supply chain for clean energy. How can we get this huge federal initiative moving to where it actually has impact on the ground? And what that looks like is some of these big programs are, you know, extending the tax credits for wind and solar, for electric vehicles, and also at the same time giving $30 billion for the electricity sector to transition to clean energy, which is important. Advanced manufacturing tax credits for wind and solar components and off-wind components, all of these things produced in the U.S. And an important part of these tax credits that I think people need to be aware of is the ability to receive the tax credits is actually based upon whether or not the item is produced using local, you know, manufacturing, meaning U.S. or North American manufacturing, and by adhering to certain wage thresholds. So we're talking about, you know, a win for labor there, and we're also talking about building that critical supply chain that we need.
That's Ashley Ward speaking there. Staying on Duke's campus, the university recently held an online panel to discuss the latest national public health emergency, monkeypox. What do you need to know about the disease and how to protect yourself? 97.9 The Hill's Bright McConnell has more.
The main symptom of the monkeypox virus is a rash that blisters and scabs before healing. Fever, swollen lymph nodes, and exhaustion are also common symptoms. The virus is known for its ability to spread through prolonged skin-to-skin contact and for sometimes taking 3 weeks to display symptoms. Dr. Cameron Wolf is an infectious disease specialist for Duke Health. He said during Friday's panel, while the virus has been endemic in parts of Western and Central Africa, it has been common to see cases reach the U.S. before. Beyond an outbreak of a few dozen people in the early 2000s, however, monkeypox never had a true foothold in the country until now. Wolf said while early perceptions may be the illness mostly spreads between men having sex with men, this outbreak is far more indiscriminate.
There's nothing about the way the virus moves that cares about your gender, who you love, who you hang out with. Is no reason that this needs to stay in those populations. There's already been women and kids who've been affected as well.
Dr. Abukin Kalu, who is a pediatrician at Duke Health, confirmed there have already been several cases reported in children. She said while parents' initial thoughts may be that school or daycare settings present the most risk, it's actually the home environment where prolonged contact is more common and where the virus has spread. Kalu also pointed to a tricky element to identifying the illness in child cases.
The key presenting symptom has been a rash, and children get lots of rashes. There are other vaccine-preventable infections that can cause fever and rashes, and this is a great time to ensure your child is up to date with all routine vaccinations. For example, chickenpox, measles, and other things that we would need to test for if we see a child with fever and a rash.
Despite the variety of cases, Dean of Duke's School of Nursing Vincent Guillermo Ramos said messaging around how monkeypox spreads will be critical. He said not only is it because some people's trust of health systems is eroding, but because it will be key to break any stigmatization around who is catching the virus.
We need to make sure that we're not blaming and that we're actually reaching out to communities to try to seek partnerships and thinking about ways that we can work together from a public health model to really try to prevent this, to mitigate, to really reach people who are most at risk and ask them to help us to actually halt transmission.
Kalu echoed that messaging is also critical to prevent stigmatizing people who may have pre-existing skin conditions or manifestations. She said similarly in kids, they may not be able to explain all their conditions, so childcare settings should not rush to conclusions.
Policies around school attendance or daycare attendance should allow room for medical evaluation, but not carte blanche remove kids from those settings with any potential skin inflammation. So those will be the caveats. And as we learn more, hopefully we will share more and adjust guidance accordingly.
A main reason people need to be reached is to promote testing and tracking the spread of the virus, said Wolf.
I think the testing is really important here because not only does it help the individual know that they're positive or not, it also helps us set up contact tracing. So tracing is something that we did at the beginning of COVID. It's really crucial here because people may not know that they've been exposed, and we actually have interventions here with vaccines to help exposed people.
Ramos said he's pleased there is already guidance out for people experiencing symptoms, as well as safer sex guidelines and information for those who live in shared space with others.
Particularly if somebody in the home has monkeypox, how can they prevent forward transmission within the home? And I think, again, the CDC has put some terrific guidelines on their website to try to think about ways that an individual can isolate in the home and some very practical things that can be done that reduce the chances of forward transmission to people within your home.
For links to that CDC guidance, visit chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Back in Orange County, county contractors will be installing fiber optic lines along some streets in Hillsboro next week, connecting county facilities to establish a backup internet connection in case the primary connection goes down. If you're driving around Hillsboro, watch for that work starting on Monday. Meanwhile, in Carrboro, some exciting business news. Golden Fig Books in Durham is set to open a second location in Carmel Mall. The store announced plans on Twitter yesterday to open the new spot by the end of the year. And Carrboro town officials have also announced the date of this year's Carrboro Music Festival. It's going to be Sunday, October 2nd, with opening events beginning the day before. Here's Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles on the festival and what's going to be different this year.
Really excited to have the music festival back this year. And this will be the first time, as I think has been reported before over the last few months, this will be the first time we've done the music festival where we're trying to do things a little bit differently in terms of how we compensate the performers. The performers will be receiving a stipend. We'll be going through the typical kind of application process. There's a committee of folks who run through the applications and select performers and program out the entire festival. So really excited to be back in person this year with performances all over downtown. Glad to see that it's been put on the calendar.
That's Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles there. You can visit CarrboroMusicFestival.com for updates and head to the 97.9 The Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com, to listen back to all of those interviews in full. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Ole Miss Jewelers. The preseason coaches poll is out for college football. UNC is out of the top 25 this year, but they do receive some votes, enough to effectively put them at number 33. Alabama is your preseason number one again, followed by Ohio State and then defending national champ Georgia. Clemson is the top-ranked ACC team again at number four, with Notre Dame rounding out the top five. NC State is at number 13, highest ever preseason ranking for them. Other ACC teams in the top 25, number 16 Pitt, number 17 Miami, and number 19 Wake Forest. UNC is just 18 days out from its season opener, August 27th at home against Florida A&M. Single game tickets for Carolina are on sale now for Carolina's home games at GoHeels.com. The Tar Heels will be light on wide receivers after senior wide receiver Antoine Green injured his collarbone in practice. Head coach Mack Brown says he had surgery Sunday and he'll be out 6 to 10 weeks with the hope of getting back in time for the Notre Dame game at the end of September. Green has struggled with injuries throughout his career at Carolina. His only injury-free season was actually last year. He caught 31 passes for 612 yards and 5 TDs. Other sports news, UNC yesterday announced the launch of the Carolina NIL Exchange, a new online marketplace to connect student athletes with businesses interested in creating NIL deals, that's name, image, and likeness. It's open for athletes in any of Carolina's 28 varsity sports, and it will officially begin with an in-person reception on August 22nd, a couple weeks from now. Finally, in baseball, the Durham Bulls are back in action today, hosting Jacksonville tonight. First pitch of the first game of that series is this evening at 6:35.